A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So I mentioned that recently I went on a Claude Code plugin development binge. It was, I think, actually only this day last week, and it was actually very productive, or rather a very productive use of one single agent skill, which really drives home, I think, for me at least, how powerful these things are. So I was creating these things called Claude Workspaces with Claude Code. After discovering it as a Linux user, it immediately clicked with me that this, what they're marketing as a tool for developers, can actually do pretty much everything you can think of with a computer. So I began using Claude to organize files and folders and manage Home Assistant. And I kind of naturally gravitated towards this workspace format because if you're using Claude for this manner, you want a system prompt to say, you know, you can do everything, but in this current manifestation of your power in this session, your task is going to be focused on backing up this computer. So you give it that kind of ground level context. And the second is the workspace allows it to save things. So let's say I have a backup, Claude backup space. I think, in fact, I had one. And I write the system prompt. These days, I write the skills. I write the MCP. Now I've got the basis of a workspace. You might say, why do you need the actual file system part of it? And the answer is, well, you don't really. I mean, you could do it as a plugin and say, save your work to, you know, a cloud server. But the utility of Claude Code is that it miniaturizes agentic AI. So what I did in practice was use the file system to be like, use this folder logs to write down your backup logs. Use this folder to write down contextual data like a benchmark of the operating system, a hardware benchmark. So it was basically a way of containing information within the working environment. And I ship these plugins publicly because my philosophy is always, if I can share something that's going to be beneficial to other users, if I've come up with a useful model for Claude, I'm going to open source it. Now, here's where it got a bit sticky. And I have to say before I say that, the other selfish reason is it makes it easier for me too. If I want to set up a new computer and use my backup plugin, I don't need to have a second marketplace. I can just use my own plugin. So a few reasons why I did it that way. The challenge becomes separating the plugin data from the user data. Because if I'm using the repository as the plugin author to version control the plugin, which means I think of a new skill, I test it, I add it to my plugin. I don't want to have my own personal data, needless to say, become part of the public plugin, which would then propagate to everyone who has it. So the challenge I encountered was, how do I define a pattern whereby the plugin ships as a public unit, and I provide some mechanism by which the agent can say, this is where I'm going to store user data outside the plugin so that anyone, including me, can use the real plugin. We're all on the same page, but we're going to have that decoupled. Now, took a bit of trial and error to get this right. Claude kept defaulting to storing stuff in a very illogical place on the computer, .claude, and putting it inside of the Claude installation folder. And that's a bad approach. The other thing I wanted to do was make sure that whatever I defined was going to work across operating systems, so Linux, Windows, Mac OS. And the mechanism that I kind of landed upon was creating an environment variable for data store. But apparently on Linux, there is a global variable that defines this on the system. And Claude recommended that you say, this is, if you're on Linux, tell the agent, this is where you should default to. The idea was actually less about one individual plugin and more about, if I'm releasing a lot of these, to create a consistent pattern so that if you use my plugins, your user data store, we're going to follow the same pattern each plugin, and we're going to put it within just a plugin name directory. And I wasn't too sure, not using Windows or not using Mac, what are the best practices in that regard for, here is a standard place that if you're shipping something like this, that's a developer tool and it has user configuration, this is where you generally will, it's an acceptable normal place to put the user data. And of course, finally, we have the question of secrets, because if I ship a plugin that would require secrets, let's say, for example, it's a blog manager with Contentful, which is actually a great use of agentic AI that I found. It has a well-established API, but it needs the user's Contentful CMA token to work. Now, I can ship my plugin and say, this is the environment variable that we expect. And on the onboarding scale, you know, put it in a .env. But again, the objective here would be to find a pattern that's going to work across environments and across users, such that even if a team were using something like Doppler for secret management, the plugin would be flexible enough to adapt to that user need, and that I can just focus on the plugin itself, shipping updates, and people who use the plugin can have their own little, based upon that first onboarding interview with the agent, they've said, I'm on Windows, here's my data, here's how I like to do secrets, and the agent can just kind of flex to the user's needs. That's the objective, really. How would you actually implement that? Give us your thoughts on the specifics.
Daniel sent us this one, and I have to say, this is the kind of prompt that makes you realize how fast the tooling around these agents is maturing. He went on what he called a Claude Code plugin development binge, and the core question he landed on is actually a fundamental software design problem when you're shipping agent skills as public, version-controlled plugins. How do you cleanly separate the plugin itself from user data, user secrets, and user preferences in a way that works across Linux, Windows, and macOS, and flexes to whatever secret management system the end user already has? And he wants us to get into the specifics.
Oh, this is a great one. And by the way, today's script is coming to us courtesy of DeepSeek V4 Pro. So if anything sounds especially brilliant, that's why.
We'll see if it holds up when we get into the weeds.
The thing that jumps out at me immediately is that Daniel basically rediscovered, inside the agentic AI context, a problem that desktop application developers have been solving for decades. The XDG base directory specification on Linux, the application support and app data conventions on macOS and Windows, respectively. These are well-trodden paths. But the twist here is that he's not building a traditional application. He's building a plugin that runs inside an agent's context, and the agent is the one making decisions about where to put things. That changes the game.
Because normally, if I'm writing a desktop app, I compile it, I ship a binary, and I program it to call some OS-specific API that returns the correct data directory. End of story. But here, the plugin is essentially a set of instructions. The agent reads and interprets. The agent is the runtime. And the agent, left to its own devices, was dumping stuff into .claude inside the installation folder, which is exactly the wrong place.
It's the classic mistake of someone who doesn't understand Unix conventions. The installation directory is for the application itself. It should be treated as read-only after install. User data goes in the user's home directory, in a location the operating system has designated for that purpose. The agent doesn't know this unless you tell it.
Which brings us to Daniel's specific question. He's trying to define a pattern, not just for one plugin, but for an ecosystem of plugins he's building and open sourcing. He wants a single, consistent approach to user data storage that any of his plugins can follow, regardless of the operating system, and regardless of the user's secret management setup.
Let me lay out what the actual standards are, because this is the foundation everything else builds on. On Linux, you've got the XDG base directory specification, which defines XDG data home. If that environment variable is set, you use it. If it's not set, the default is .local/share inside the user's home directory. That's where user-specific data files are supposed to live. On macOS, the convention is to use the application support directory inside the user's library folder. And the proper way to locate that programmatically is through the NSS search path for directories in domains. API. But since an agent can't call Objective-C APIs directly, the practical path is tilde /library/application support. On Windows, you're looking at appdata/roaming or appdata/local, depending on whether the data should roam with the user's profile across machines. Roaming for preferences and configuration, local for caches and logs that don't need to sync.
Daniel mentioned that on Linux, there's actually a system-level variable for this, which Claude pointed out to him. That's XDG data home. But here's the thing that I think trips people up. XDG data home is not always set. It's an optional override. Most Linux distributions don't set it by default because the default fallback works fine. So if your plugin says use XDG data home, you also need a fallback rule.
And the fallback is the one I just mentioned, .local/share. But even that needs to be fully qualified. It's relative to the user's home directory. So the full path on a typical Linux system would be something like /home/username/.local/share/plugin/name. And you'd construct that by checking if XDG data home is set, and if not, defaulting to /.local/share.
Daniel's specific worry was that Claude kept defaulting to .clod inside the installation directory. That tells me the system prompt or the skill instructions weren't explicit enough about where user data should go. The agent was pattern matching to, I need a place to store data related to Claude, and pick the Claude directory, which is logical in the dumbest possible way.
It's the kind of mistake that makes perfect sense if you remember that the agent doesn't have the benefit of years of learning where things go on a Unix system. It's reasoning from first principles every time. You have to be explicit. And this is where I think Daniel's insight about workspaces is actually quite clever, because a workspace gives you a bounded context. The agent knows this is my working directory. But the problem is that the workspace is also where the plugin lives, and he doesn't want user data commingled with plugin code.
Let's talk about the solution he landed on and whether it holds up. He's using an environment variable to point to a data store location. The plugin defines the variable name, and the user, or the onboarding process, sets it. On Linux, he's suggesting the agent should check xdg.home first and use that as a default. That's a solid approach, but I see a few edge cases.
Let's walk through them. The first edge case is, what if the user runs multiple plugins from Daniel and they all need to store data? His approach of using a plugin named subdirectory inside the data store is correct. You don't want plugin A's logs ending up in plugin B's directory. But the question is whether each plugin defines its own environment variable, or whether there's a single variable that all plugins share, with each plugin namespacing itself underneath.
The single variable approach is cleaner. Something like called plugin data home, and then each plugin creates its own subdirectory. If every plugin defines its own variable, you end up with environment variable sprawl, and users have to configure a half dozen things instead of one. Daniel seems to be leaning toward a consistent pattern, which suggests he's thinking about the single variable approach.
That's what I'd recommend. Define one environment variable, call it something like plugin data store or Claude user data, and have every plugin use that as the root, then append its own name. So the backup plugin writes to whatever that variable points to, /backup plugin/logs/whatever. The contentful blog manager writes to the same root, /contentful plugin. Clean separation, one configuration point.
Now we hit the cross-platform question Daniel raised. He knows Linux. He's less sure about the conventions on macOS and Windows. And he wants the plugin to work for users on those systems, without them having to manually figure out where things should go.
This is where the onboarding skill becomes critical. Daniel mentioned that each plugin should have an onboarding conversation with the agent, where the agent asks the user about their environment and configures things accordingly. That's actually a really elegant pattern. Instead of trying to write conditional logic that covers every possible system, you have the agent do discovery at setup time. The agent can run commands to detect the operating system, check for existing environment variables, look at what secret managers are available, and then set the appropriate configuration.
The onboarding skill would do something like run uname to detect the OS, then on Linux check for xdg.home. On macOS suggest /library/application support/plugin name. On Windows check for app.a and suggest a path under app.a/roaming. It presents the user with the proposed location, asks for confirmation or a custom path, and then writes that to the environment variable or a config file that subsequent sessions will read.
This is where I want to get specific about implementation, because Daniel asked for specifics. The way I'd structure this is a two-layer system. Layer 1 is the plugin itself, which ships with a set of skills, MCP, configurations, and a system prompt or instructions file. None of these contain hard-coded paths. They all reference a variable. In the instructions, you'd say something like, your user data directory is specified by the environment variable plugin_data_home. If this variable is not set, run the onboarding skill to configure it. Store all persisted data in subdirectories of this path, organized by function, logs, cache, state, and so on.
That's the declarative approach. The agent reads the instruction and knows to check for the variable before doing anything that writes user data. But there's a subtlety here that I think a lot of people miss. Environment variables are session-scoped. If the user runs Claude Code in a new terminal window, the variable might not be set unless it's been added to their shell profile. So the onboarding skill also needs to handle persistence.
That's an excellent point. On Linux and macOS, you'd want to append the export command to .bashrc or .zsrc or, better yet, to a dedicated file like .clog plugin config that gets sourced by the shell profile. On Windows, you'd set it as a user environment variable through the system settings or through a PowerShell profile. The onboarding skill should detect the user's shell and write the appropriate configuration. And it should probably also create a fallback config file in a known location, maybe .config/claude/plugins/config.json, so that if the environment variable isn't set in a particular session, the agent can still find the data directory.
I like the config file as a fallback. Environment variables are great for flexibility, but they're fragile. A config file in a well-known location is more robust. The agent checks the environment variable first, and if it's not set, it looks for the config file. If neither exists, it runs the onboarding skill. That's a resilient pattern.
Now, let's talk about secrets, because that's the other half of Daniel's question, and it's where things get genuinely tricky. The Contentful CMA token example is a good one. That's a secret that should never, ever end up in a log file, in version control, or in a plugin's public repository, and Daniel's concern is that different users will have different secret management setups. Some will use .env files. Some will use Doppler or HashiCorp Vault or AWS Secrets Manager. Some will use their operating system's credential store. The plugin needs to work for all of them.
The plugin author can't possibly anticipate every secret backend a user might have. This is where the principle of least knowledge comes in. The plugin should not know how secrets are stored. It should only know how to ask for a secret by name. The actual resolution, where the secret comes from, is the user's responsibility to configure and the agent's responsibility to implement at runtime.
How do you actually do that? I think the cleanest pattern is to define, in the plugin's instructions, a list of required secrets by name and purpose. Something like, this plugin requires a Contentful CMA token, referenced as Contentful CMA token. It requires a GitHub Personal Access token, referenced as GitHub PIA. These secrets will be used for the following operations. And then the onboarding skill handles the actual collection and storage.
Collection is the easy part. The onboarding skill asks the user for each secret, one at a time. The hard part is storage and retrieval. If the user says, I use Doppler, the onboarding skill needs to know how to configure Doppler access. If the user says, just put it in a .env file, the skill needs to know where to put that file and how to ensure it's Git ignored.
This is where I think the agent-centric approach actually has an advantage over traditional application development. In a traditional app, you'd have to write separate integrations for every secret manager you want to support. With an agent, you can give it a general instruction. Ask the user how they manage secrets. If they use a tool you're familiar with, configure it. If they want a .env file, create one in the user data directory, not in the plugin directory, and ensure it's excluded from version control. Store secrets in a way that survives across sessions.
The key phrase there is, not in the plugin directory. That's the whole problem Daniel is trying to solve. If the .env file ends up in the plugin directory, it's one Git commit away from being public. The secrets have to live in the user data directory, which is outside the plugin's version control entirely.
Let me propose a concrete directory structure because I think that'll help make this tangible. In the user data directory, wherever plugin data home points, you'd have something like this. For the backup plugin, a directory called backup plugin, and inside that, a config directory, a logs directory, a state directory, and a secrets directory. The secrets directory contains a .n file that's gitignored at the plugin level, but also isn't inside the plugin repository at all, because the entire user data tree is outside the plugin directory.
The plugin's instructions would say, your secrets are stored in the secrets subdirectory of your user data directory. Load them at the start of each session. Do not write secrets to any other location. Do not include secrets in logs or error messages. That last part is critical. Agents love to be helpful and verbose, and if an API call fails, the agent might echo back the token it used in the error message. You have to explicitly tell it not to.
That's a real footgun. I've seen agents do exactly that. I tried to connect using the token API23XIs and got a 401 error. Now that token is in the chat history and potentially in logs. The instructions need to be explicit, redact secrets from all output.
We've covered data directories and secrets. Let's talk about the broader architectural question Daniel is really asking. He's building a plugin ecosystem. He wants a consistent pattern that works across all his plugins, across all operating systems, and across all user configurations. Is the environment variable plus config file approach sufficient, or is there a better abstraction?
I think it's sufficient, but I'd add one more layer. A plugin manifest. Each plugin ships with a small JSON or YAM, LLM, file that declares its requirements, what data directories it needs, what secrets it expects, what environment variables it uses, what operating systems it supports. The agent reads this manifest at the start of a session and uses it to validate that everything is configured correctly. If something's missing, it runs the onboarding skill. This is much cleaner than having the agent discover problems through trial and error.
I like that. It's declarative infrastructure for agent plugins. The manifest says, I need these things, and the agent's job is to ensure those things exist before proceeding. It separates the what from the how, which is exactly the right abstraction level for agentic systems.
It solves the cross-platform problem Daniel was worried about. The manifest doesn't specify paths. It specifies needs. I need a data directory for logs. I need a data directory for state. I need a secret called Contentful CMA Token. The agent, equipped with the onboarding logic and the OS detection we talked about, figures out the appropriate paths based on the user's platform and preferences.
The manifest also helps with the team use case Daniel mentioned. If a team is using Doppler or HashiCorp Vault, the manifest tells the agent this plugin needs these secrets, and the agent can be configured to fetch them from the team's secret manager rather than asking each developer to set them up individually. The plugin author doesn't need to know about Doppler. The manifest just declares the dependency, and the team's agent configuration handles the resolution.
Which is exactly the separation of concerns Daniel is aiming for. He wants to focus on shipping plugin updates, new skills, improved instructions, better workflows. He doesn't want to be in the business of managing user secrets or debugging path issues on Windows. The plugin is the plugin. The user's environment is the user's environment. The agent bridges the gap.
There's one more thing I want to dig into, because Daniel mentioned it, and I think it's actually the most interesting part of his whole setup. He said Claude Code miniaturizes agentic AI. That's a really sharp observation. What he's describing is that the workspace format, combined with skills and MCP, creates a bounded, focused instance of an agent that's much more capable than a generic chatbot, but much more constrained than a fully autonomous system. It's a Goldilocks zone.
It's the constraint that makes it powerful. A fully autonomous agent with access to your entire file system and all your APIs is terrifying and error-prone. But an agent that operates inside a workspace with a specific system prompt, a specific set of skills, and a specific data directory, that's a tool. You know what it can do, you know where it stores things, and you can inspect its work.
Daniel's backup workspace is a perfect example. The system prompt says your task is backing up this computer. The skills define how to do backups. The MCP gives access to the tools needed. The workspace provides a place for logs and state. Everything is scoped. If the agent goes off the rails, it can only go off the rails within that scope.
The plugin pattern he's building takes that a step further. He's packaging these scoped, purpose-built agent configurations and sharing them. Someone else can take his backup plugin, run the onboarding skill, and have a backup agent tailored to their system, with their data directory, their secrets, their preferences. The plugin provides the structure. The agent provides the adaptation. The user provides the specifics.
It's almost like a Docker container for agent behavior. The plugin defines the image. The user's environment provides the volumes and environment variables. The agent is the runtime. And just like Docker, the art is in getting the separation right, so that the image is portable and the data is persistent.
It highlights why the data directory problem Daniel ran into is so fundamental. In Docker, if you don't mount a volume, your data disappears when the container stops. In agent plugins, if you don't specify a data directory outside the plugin, your data ends up in version control or in the installation directory. Same class of problem, different domain.
Let's synthesize this into a concrete implementation pattern, because Daniel asked for specifics. I'd structure it as four components. 1. A plugin manifest that declares data directory needs, secret requirements, and supported platforms. 2. An environment variable, PLUGLGA data home, that points to the root of the user's plugin data directory, with OS appropriate defaults if not set. 3. A config file fallback, in.config/claude. Plugins, so sessions without the environment variable still work. 4. An onboarding skill that detects the user's OS, shell, and secret management preferences, and configures everything accordingly.
I'd add a fifth component, a secrets resolution protocol. The plugin's instructions should say, when you need a secret, check the following sources in order. First, environment variables. Second, the secrets directory in the user data directory. Third, ask the user. This gives the agent a clear, predictable order of operations, and it lets users layer their own secret management on top. If they use Doppler, they can configure Doppler to inject environment variables, and the agent will pick them up from step one without knowing anything about Doppler.
For the .env approach, which is probably what most individual users will go with, the onboarding skill creates a .env file in the user data directory secret subdirectory, and the agent loads it at the start of each session. The key is that this .env is not in the plugin directory. It's in the user data directory, which is outside version control entirely.
There's one edge case worth mentioning. What about secrets that are needed across multiple plugins? If Daniel's backup plugin and his Contentful plugin both need a GitHub token, does the user have to configure it twice?
That's where the single plugin data home variable pays off. If the secrets are stored in a shared location, say plugin data home /secret/.env, and each plugin loads from that shared file, then a GitHub token configured once is available to all plugins. But you have to be careful about namespace collisions. If two plugins both expect a variable called APIKEY, they'll step on each other.
The manifest helps here too. Each plugin declares its expected secret names. The onboarding skill can check for collisions and warn the user. Or you can namespace the secrets by plugin. Backup PI plugin. GitHub token versus Contentful. Plugin GitHub token. More verbose, but safer.
Daniel's instinct to find a consistent pattern is exactly right. The worst outcome would be each plugin doing its own thing, with data scattered across .claude, .config, the desktop, and who knows where else. A single, well-documented convention, even if it's not perfect, is vastly better than fragmentation.
I think the convention he's converging on is solid. Use an environment variable as the primary pointer to user data. Default to OS appropriate locations. Keep secrets out of the plugin directory. Use an onboarding conversation to handle the initial setup. Ship a manifest so the agent knows what it needs before it starts working. That's a pattern that scales from a single user on Linux to a team using enterprise secret management.
The only thing I'd caution about is over-engineering the onboarding. Daniel mentioned that the agent can flex to the user's needs based on that first interview. That's a great goal, but agents are still flaky enough that you want the happy path to be very short. Detect the OS, propose a default data directory, ask if that's okay, ask about secrets, write the config, 5 minutes, tops. If the onboarding turns into a 20-minute conversation about the user's entire computing philosophy, people are going to bounce.
That's the tension with agentic interfaces in general. The flexibility is the feature. The unpredictability is the bug. The skill of plugin design is in constraining the agent enough that it does the right thing 99% of the time, while still giving it enough flexibility to handle the 1% of cases where the user has a weird setup.
Daniel's approach of shipping these as open source is interesting in that context, because it means the community can contribute the weird edge cases. Someone on Windows with a non-standard app data location can submit a fix. Someone using Doppler can add the Doppler resolution logic to the onboarding skill. The plugin gets smarter without the author having to personally support every configuration.
It's the same dynamic that made open source software work in the first place. The maintainer handles the core logic and the common cases. The community fills in the long tail of platform-specific quirks and integrations. The difference is that instead of code contributions, a lot of these contributions might be prompt engineering. Here's the instruction that makes the agent handle this edge case correctly.
Which is a whole new kind of software development, really. You're not writing deterministic code that handles every branch explicitly. You're writing instructions that guide an agent's reasoning, and you're relying on the agent's general intelligence to fill in the gaps. The plugin is part code, part prompt, part convention. The art is knowing which parts to specify rigidly and which to leave flexible.
The data directory problem is a perfect example of something that should be specified rigidly. The convention, data goes here, secrets go there, never mix user data with plugin code, needs to be ironclad. The agent can be flexible about how it implements the convention on a given platform, but the convention itself shouldn't be negotiable.
Because the cost of getting it wrong is high. Daniel mentioned the worry about personal data propagating to everyone who has the plugin. That's sort of hypothetical. One bad git add, one misplaced .env file, and suddenly, your API. Keys are in a public repository. The pattern has to make that mistake hard to make.
This is why I like the approach of keeping user data entirely outside the plugin directory. Not in a subdirectory, not in a .dot file that's git ignored, completely outside the repository. If the plugin lives in /home/daniel/project/backup-plugin, the user data lives in /home/daniel/.local/share/backup-plugin. There's no amount of sloppy git commands that can accidentally commit data from a completely different directory tree.
Unless the agent gets confused and writes to the wrong place. Which brings us back to the instructions needing to be explicit and the convention needing to be enforced by the plugin system prompt, not just by user discipline.
Daniel should test the onboarding on a clean machine, or a VM verify, and verify that the agent actually writes to the correct directory, that secrets don't leak into logs, and that the config survives a new terminal session. The gap between the instructions say the right thing and the agent actually does the right thing is where bugs live.
All right. Let me try to pull this together into something actionable. If I were implementing this today, here's what I'd do. Step 1. Define the environment variable. I'd call a Clogy plugin data and document that it should point to a directory outside any plugin repository. Step 2. Write a plugin manifest for each plugin that lists its data subdirectories and secret requirements. Step 3. Write an onboarding skill that detects the OS, proposes a default path, asks about secrets, and writes the configuration. Step 4. In the plugin's main instructions, make it mandatory that the agent checks CodePodgin data before doing anything that writes data and refuses to proceed if it's not set. Step 5. Test on all three platforms.
I'd add step 6. Write a post-install verification skill. After onboarding, the agent runs a quick check. Can it write to the data directory? Can it read the secrets? Does the directory structure look right? If anything's off, it flags it immediately rather than waiting for a real task to fail.
That's a good call. Failing fast is always better than failing mysteriously 3 hours into a backup job, and it gives the user confidence that the plugin is set up correctly.
You know what strikes me about this whole discussion? Daniel is basically doing systems administration, but through the medium of prompt engineering. 20 years ago, setting up a backup system meant editing config files and writing shell scripts. Now it means writing a system prompt and an onboarding conversation. The underlying principles, separation of concerns, least privilege, fail fast, OS portability, are exactly the same.
The tools change. The principles don't. And the people who understand the principles are the ones who build things that last, even when the tools are evolving this fast. Daniel's question is about where to put files, but it's really about how to design a plugin architecture that's going to hold up as the agentic ecosystem matures.
That's what makes it a good prompt. It's not just how do I fix this bug, it's what's the right pattern, and why, and how do I make it work for everyone. Those are the questions worth spending 30 minutes on.
And on that note, we should probably wrap before we start designing a package manager.
I'm already thinking about dependency resolution between plugins.
Of course you are. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1950s, Soviet researchers in Tajikistan discovered that a rare mineral called tungtupite, when ground into pigment, produced a vivid crimson that shifted to a soft pink under ultraviolet light, a photochromic effect caused by trace sulfur impurities in the crystal lattice.
Right. If you're ever in Tajikistan and your paint changes color, blame the sulfur.
I'll file that under things I didn't expect to learn today. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, and thanks to Daniel for a prompt that's going to save someone from accidentally open sourcing their API keys.
If you enjoyed this, do us a favor and leave a review wherever you listen. Find more at myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back next time. Until then, keep your secrets out of your repos.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.